Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the Action Network Podcast.
It's good for the win.
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Action Network Podcast NFL Draft Betting Preview presented by BetMGM, the official odds provider of the show. I'm Matthew Friedman, the self-declared yet unofficial NFL draft guru at Action Network. And here with me are Sean Corner and Chris Raybon. We have got the gang back together. Sean is the Action Network Director of Predictive Analytics, and Chris is a senior editor and analyst at the Action Network. They are two of the best fantasy football rankers and NFL prop bettors in the world. Sean, Chris, I haven't talked to you guys for a while. Consequently, it's been maybe the best couple of months of my life. How have you guys been?
I've been good, man. I'm like Sean's hat is fresh right now, man. I'm usually the guy with the freshest hat in the pod. So like props to Sean, but been good, man. It's good to get back together.
Yeah. Sean, how are you doing? That Chris is right. That hat is very fresh.
I need it for my first prop, so it's there's a reason I'm wearing this hat, as you'll find out very soon.
All right, very, very good. It's great to be back in the saddle with you guys and joining us for this very special episode of the, I should mention, award-winning Action Network Podcast. Is the best NFL mock drafter in the world over the past 3 years. I'm talking about the Scott Smith, whose mock drafts you can find at Action Network. As you are listening to this, there's a chance, maybe a very good chance, that Scott's most recent mock just completed will be available on the site. Scott, we're just a few days away from the NFL draft. How's it going?
So, man, it's grind time right now. So, you really kind of hedging and going through all the rumors and all the smoke screens that are out there to try to make heads and see what's going on and what's right. You know, all the GMs have got their poker faces going on right now, and we're just trying to sort through all the crap.
It's great having you on the show. It's always fun to talk shop with you about the NFL draft. In this episode, we're running through our five favorite NFL draft props in the market right now. Dare I say it, is the 2021 NFL Draft Propapalooza.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
I am almost as excited to talk props as I am to read this ad from our sponsor, Athletic Brewing Company. Whether you're getting ready to draft, get it, it's a pun. Whether you're getting ready to draft your betting card for the day or draft your fantasy football team, getting drunk while you're managing draft capital is never a wise decision. And that's where our friends at Athletic Brewing come in. For years now, Athletic Brewing has been making some of the most flavorful beer money can buy, brews that celebrate the flavors and innovations of the craft beer tradition, but without the alcohol. If you want to take it easy on the booze and maintain your mastery of cost-benefit analysis, Athletic Brewing's award-winning beers are a great option. Head to athleticbrewing.com, check out their selection, and place an order using code ACTION15. That is ACTION15. That gets new customers 15% off their first order. And if you order two or more six packs, shipping is always free. That's athleticbrewing.com. Use the code ACTION15 on that first order and enjoy great taste while keeping your gambling edge. Also, I should mention, the NFL Draft Insider's prop tool at Action Labs In the tool, we have pulled in the odds for many of the draft props in the market so you can see what's out there. And this is the best part. In the tool, I provide my lines for each prop so you can see where we think the biggest edges are. I also have many of my favorite props tracked in the tool so you can see my prop portfolio. Of course, there's lots more for you to check out at Action Labs. The Insiders tool for NBA, run by Justin Fan, the Markets tool, the Props tool for NBA and MLB. To access all of that, use the promo code NFL Draft for 25% off your initial purchase at Action Labs. Gentlemen, let's jump into it. We are going from 5 to 1, each of us giving our 5 favorite props on the board now. Scott, I want to start with you. Give me your 5th favorite prop.
Look, my 5th favorite prop is one that I think is like pretty easy to go ahead and digest. And it's going to be over 0.5 running backs taken in round one. You're looking at the odds at minus 225. I think really when you break it down and start looking at it, and you can even refer back to last year when you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire going, I think Najee Harris and ATN are both ranked higher than what most people would have had Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. And I said, so you start looking at that and even some of the scouting takes at what you have on Najee Harris and how he fits in today's game as a bigger back that's smooth and fluid catching the ball. I think there's a very good chance you have these two guys as good bets of one of them going in the first round with an outside shot with Javonte Williams. A lot of people in the scouting community tend to like him. But really, when I look at this first round and I start looking at some of it, you know, you've got the Jets, you've got the Steelers, you know, even Tampa Bay returned all 22 starters. They don't have a drastic need. So, and you start looking at some of those teams right there in the second round that may want to trade up to the back end of the first round and maybe get one of these running backs. I like the play to go ahead and bet on at least one running back getting taken here in the first round.
Okay, and that number is minus 225 across the industry. Sean, I want to kick it to you. What is one of your favorite props?
So let's kick it off with a fun one. This is a 20-1 long shot, but I'm going with the Cardinals drafting Jalen Waddle. And this is sort of betting on the draft being chaotic, so I'm betting on variance here. I think the fun's really going to start when we get to the Falcons, Bengals, Dolphins portion of the draft. And, you know, if we get a curveball there, I think it's going to make the range of outcomes for the Lions even wider, including the possibility that the Lions trade down. So I think the Lions are probably the most likely spot for Waddle to go, but I mean, it's not too crazy to see him slip to 16. I think that's certainly his floor, but I've been seeing some rumors that the Cardinals love Waddle and they're willing to trade up. So, you know, they're potentially a trade up candidate to either the Lions or the Giants. And you know, the most recent mock by Daniel Jeremiah has the Cardinals getting Waddle at 16, and Peter Schrager's recent mock has them trading up to 7 to take Waddle. So I think just the more sharper recent mocks have the Cardinals taking Waddle. So I'm going to take them here at 20-1. I think, you know, this should be closer to 13-1. I obviously don't think it's going to happen, but I'm taking the value here at 20-1.
Yeah. And as you said, those recent mocks have the Cardinals going with Waddle. I think even in my first mock a couple of months ago, I had Waddle going number 16 to the Cardinals. I've moved off of that, but I mean, I can see how it happens. A couple of ways it could happen. Raybon, give me one of your favorite props for the 2021 NFL draft.
This one's unsexy, but I still think the odds are not as good as they should be here. So I'm going under 1.5 tight ends in the first round. Kyle Pitts obviously will go top 10, probably top 5, but I don't really see another tight end go until the mid second round at the earliest. So minus 550. I think those odds are, you know, even though they're juiced up, I think they're way too low. I would bet them to about minus 900 or so.
Okay. My inclination is to side with you on this one. I am slightly terrified, though, of Pat Freiermuth coming out of Penn State. There are rumors that Jacksonville really likes him and that they're considering him at number 25. I don't think that happens. I think it's likelier that if they take him, they do it in the second round. They could do it at the first pick in the second round. They could even do it later in the second round. But Freiermuth, if there is one guy who's going to slide into the first round and ruin this prop, it will be Freiermuth. I don't think it happens, but that is one of the sort of like random players that I'm going to be eyeing on Thursday night and just praying as we get into the 20s that I do not hear his name called. Raybon, I'm with you on that prop. One of my favorites, and this one's kind of obscure, under 2.5 Pac-12 players in round one. It is plus 100 at some books. This number should be minus 400, minus 500. There are two Pac-12 guys who are locked in, Penei Sewell and Elijah Vera Tucker. You know, both of those guys, I think, go in the top half of round one. But after them, it is very thin. Edge rusher Joe Tryon out of Washington, he has a shot, but he's in only maybe 10% of the sharp mocks that I've seen. So I think there might be five other edges ahead of him in this class. Again, this is something of an obscure prop. That's why it's not higher up this list. But out of all the props I see right now, this one might be the one that provides the most value. Again, under 2.5 Pac-12 players in round one, plus 100. All right, Scott, give me another prop that you like for the 2021 NFL draft.
Yeah, the next one that I like is actually had a little bit of movement. Initially, it was at plus 105. Now it's up to plus 120, but it's the over 6.5 on Trey Lance. Really, when you start breaking down, Trey Lance has had a few connections there to the third pick over with 49ers. But when you start listening to some of the guys that are tuned in, and Mike Lombardi, who, you know, was a GM, he's tuned in with some of the guys there. You know, he talks about Trey Lance being a year away from being a year away. So I think when we start looking at it, I think if the 49ers don't draft him at 3, we talked a little bit before the show, I'm highly doubtful that Atlanta would go ahead and take him at 4. I think when you start looking at some of those teams, you know, drafting a quarterback that high in the top 5, who's a year away from being a year away, sitting probably 2 years, and then, you know, 5, we've got Cincinnati kind of tuned in to either Chase or Penei Sewell. You really start looking at that 6 position, and our team's going to trade up to 6 to get Lance. And if Lance doesn't go at 6, you have, you know, 7, 8, and 9, where 7 and 8 could be a trade up position to either Carolina or Detroit. And then you're really looking at Denver there at 9 being the pick that I would probably project right now to be the one taking Trey Lance.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Trey Lance over 6.5. That is one that is on my card. Sean, give me another of your favorite props.
Going with another wide receiver landing spot. This one, Devontae Smith going to the Eagles at plus 450. This is sort of a hedge on my extreme Waddle bet. You know, if the Lions or Giants take Waddle, probably lost that bet, or I did lose that bet. So I think that would make it even more likely that the Eagles take Devonta Smith here. You know, I like the over 11.5 at minus 130 for Smith. I think there might be some concern that his recent weigh-in was 166. I mean, I personally wouldn't be concerned about that, but you never know. So that would, you know, land him with the Eagles at number 12. And I think even if Waddle's on the board, I could see the Eagles, you know, leaning towards the higher floor player. You know, they've had a couple whiffs recently in drafts at wide receiver. So I think they might be a little more cautious and take Smith. So either way, I think they should be closer to plus 300. So I'm going to take the value here at plus 450.
Sean, to your point, right now we are seeing 11.5 is the over under that is out there for Devontae Smith. And so for him to go to the Eagles, who right now have the number 12 pick, I mean, that's well within the range of outcomes just in terms of what Vegas is projecting here. And so to get him at 450, I think is excellent value. Chris, give me another of your favorite NFL draft props.
Yeah, before that, I just got to say that's like, it's ridiculous. Like Smith should go much higher than that. Like in my opinion, like he should go right after Chase or, you know, like I'm not even like against him going before him, but I mean, I know he's not, but that's just outrageous. But I'm going for mine with another wide receiver a little further down the board, Rashad Bateman, under 26.5 draft spot. So that means getting taken higher at plus 110. So it's better than plus money. I think this prop is relatively on point, but I like the plus money for him to go under. I think you see a bunch of teams in the 20s that could take a wide receiver, and I think he'll be the fourth guy. So the Colts, the Titans, I think could take a wide receiver. I think the Browns at 26 are a team to watch as well. And I also think somebody could trade up Even if it's like a spot or two at that spot in the draft. I mean, you have the Packers, you have the Ravens, teams like that. So he's been kind of floating around that spot for me, but I like the plus money on Bateman to go 26th or higher.
All right, we might have some debate on this. Scott, I would like to get your thoughts. I've seen Bateman in about half of the, you know, sharper mock drafts that I look at. So if I had to set this line, I would set it around 32 and a half. I think it's a coin flip roughly whether he gets into round one or not. Scott, do you have a lean on Bateman, whether we see him in round one and where you are on 26 and a half?
Yeah, I think 26 and a half is a spot or two higher. I would be a little bit more comfortable at 28. I think one of the tools I particularly use a lot when I'm setting my mock draft boards is the consensus big board over at The Athletic. They have him ranked 28th. You know, that's the aggregate of numerous scouting, you know, rankers and things like that. So that's kind of the round. The other thing you really have to look at, the player that kind of like throws the monkey wrench in here is Kadarius Toney. You know, I've heard, you know, some scouts have him as high as like 15th. He's a guy that a lot of people seem to like and is picking up steam as far as going. And he's a guy that I've seen mocked as high as to Chicago, to, you know, to the Bears and things like that. So I think Kadarius Toney is the guy who could possibly cause a problem with Bateman being drafted in that position.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are coin flips for round one. I mean, I'm with Raymond in that. I have Bateman as my number four wide receiver. I think he should be going in that range. Hard to know if that's what happens here. One of my favorite props, I got to say, this is similar to Ray Bond's, you know, under 1.5 tight ends, you know, not sexy. I'm going Trayvon Morrig as the number one safety in the draft. It's minus 400 at BetMGM. So again, it's not sexy to lay this much juice, but this line should be minus 900, minus 1,000. Morrig, you know, of course, coming from the great school of TCU. He won the Thorpe Award last year as the nation's top defensive back, and there's no one close to him at safety in this class. Morrig should go in the 20s or 30s. The two guys who might challenge him, Richie Grant and Javon Holland, they're likely go in the 40s and 50s. And not one mock have I seen a safety drafted ahead of Morrig. Like, I just think he's what, like Chase as the number one wide receiver in this class. That's what Morrig is to the safeties in this class. Like, he's just locked in as the number one guy. And to get him at minus 400, I think it's such fantastic value. Again, no one wants to lay that much juice, but it's totally worth it for a guy who really is this head and shoulders above everyone else at the position. So that is one of my favorite props for the 2021 NFL draft. Scott, coming back to you, give me another of your favorite props for the draft.
Look, whenever you're playing poker and you have your hand, you're looking for a bunch of outs, and this next prop is kind of going to give you that. And what we're talking about is minus 165 for over 5.5 Alabama players drafted in the first round. I think when we look at it, you can really lock down four guys. We know Mac Jones, we know Waddle, we know Smith, and we know Patrick Surtain. Those guys are all kind of like in that top half. You know, we just talked about it earlier. I think Najee Harris has a real good shot of going. And Christian Barmore is pretty much the top defensive tackle in this draft, and it's a weak class. So I think you could also see a team move in to go ahead and make him, you know, their pick, especially in the first round. That right there would give you six. And then you start looking at some other mock drafts, you start looking at some other scouting services, and you've got Landon Dickerson, you know, who is ranked around, you know, pick 33, you know, 35 range. He's a player that could possibly move up. I've seen him kind of linked to the Ravens a decent bit. And then you also have the tackle, Alex Leatherwood. When you start talking about this tackle class, one of the complaints that you have with a lot of the tackles that are projected here is that they all have short arms. Leatherwood's one of the guys who doesn't fall into that category. He's measuring out right there around that 34-inch arm length, which is one of the thresholds that, you know, the scouting community and GMs really look for when they're getting tackles. So I think this is a prop that has a lot of outs for you to go ahead and hit. Even if you miss on one of those guys being in there, I think you have outs to go ahead and get a couple of other guys. I'd be comfortable betting it down to minus 250.
Scott, I'm with you. I love this prop. And looking at Leatherwood, I mean, he could go as high as the number four tackle on the board. He could maybe be number seven, but the difference between the guys number four to number seven in this tackle class, there's really not much of a difference between them. And you look at Leatherwood, as you mentioned, he's got those long arms. He was a unanimous All-American last year. And you mentioned Landon Dickerson. I think he's the best center in the class. If not for the injury concerns, he would be a lock in the first round. And even with the injury issues coming off the ACL, you could still see him sneaking into the bottom of round one. And then all those other guys you mentioned, I'm with you. Absolutely love this prop. Sean, give me another of your favorite props for the NFL draft.
So I'm going to go with J.C. Horn. Draft position over 12 and a half at -110. You know, Patrick Surtain Jr.'s likely to be the first cornerback off the board at -350. It looks like, you know, Dallas will probably be the first team to take a corner. So, you know, this seems like, will the Giants or Eagles take him? And I already talked about the Eagles will potentially be taking a wide receiver. The Giants have a wide range of outcomes at 11. You know, the one wrinkle on this could be if Carolina takes a corner at 8. So, you know, Dallas might take Horn. And, you know, Scott might tell me later on that it's more likely than I realize that the Panthers might do that. So I think that's one of the wrinkles in this. But I, you know, when you add up all the probabilities and stuff, I think -110 is still too low. I'd probably bet this up to -150. And I think, you know, I think it's very likely he goes between 13 and 17. I don't think he falls outside of the top 17.
Yeah, that's where you see him in the super majority of mock drafts. Number 16 to the Cardinals looks like his absolute floor. That's a pretty standard spot for him to be mocked. But I think he has a wide range of outcomes, you know, because he has such phenomenal athleticism. It's within the realm of possibility that there are NFL teams that actually do prefer him to Surtain. And so that, you know, might kind of throw a wrench in this, but you're looking at the mock draft data right now. This looks like a pretty good bet. Raybon, give me one of your favorite props for the 2021 NFL draft.
All right. So here's one with, you know, Scott kind of mentioned outs, and I'm curious to hear you guys' opinion on it. Cause it's, I don't know like how data backed up it is, but I just like the odds here based on his team's history. So I'm going Dallas Cowboys to take an offensive player and with their first pick at +375. And the reason being is the Cowboys sitting there at number 10, you know, everybody expects them to take a cornerback. I think that is their biggest need. Obviously, it's priced into the odds. But there could be a lot of chaos in these first 10 picks. And it really depends on, you know, situations with these quarterbacks and teams trading up. And we don't know, you know, we're not 100% sure if Kyle Pitts goes, you know, top five or and guys could start falling down. I mean, Sewell's another guy. So what happens if, you know, kind of similar to last season when a top offensive prospect, and there are a lot of them going right, you know, right before Dallas is, you know, slated to pick. What if one of those guys falls? You know, does Dallas take the bait? We've seen them do it in the past. So, and there are, you know, a bunch of, you know, offensive line. It's not what it once was for Dallas. You know, there are a bunch of offensive line prospects kind of that would be, you know, to go in that range as well. So, I think Dallas at +375 is pretty interesting. I think there's still about like a 1 in 4 ish chance that they do that. They take an offensive player for whatever reason. So I'd bet that down to +300.
Yeah. +375. That's a lot. And Scott, I would like your thoughts on this because you could see, you know, whether it's Sewell or whether it's Rashawn Slater, you could see one of these really premium offensive tackles falling down to the Cowboys at number 10. If that happens, let's say Slater and Surtain are both on the board. What do you think the Cowboys will do?
I think if those two players were on the board, I think Surtain would be the pick. However, when you start looking at things, Patrick Surtain has been the most mocked draft player to any team going to the Cowboys in 66% of mock drafts that have been out. So it's quite a popular pick, but, you know, we'll see later, and I'll talk about Patrick Surtain coming up soon. But I think if Patrick Surtain's not there, you have to look at two players for the Cowboys. Those two players are going to be Rashawn Slater, the tackle from Northwestern, who some people, you know, go ahead and compare to Zach Martin and think he may be a better guard. So the Cowboys could actually play him at guard and then move him outside to tackle as Smith moves on. But I think both he and J.C. Horn would be the two players. And I think Rashawn Slater may have a little bit of an edge on J.C. Horn as far as like going to the Cowboys. I think when you start looking at it, and if Surtain is off the board before that pick goes to the Cowboys, I think this is a great bet for Slater to go ahead and be the pick there for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Raybon, I like that one quite a bit. I think +375, those are good odds for a long shot bet. One of my favorites for the draft is, again, it's unsexy, but under 5.5 quarterbacks in round one. You can find this at BetMGM at -450. In the way that Raybon would say this, I would bet this to any juice. I would bet this to the moon. Okay, Benjamin Robinson of Grinding the Mocks, he did a great study at Football Outsiders, noting that quarterbacks slide down the board relative to where they are mocked. Think of Drew Lock sliding to round two a couple of years ago when everyone had him mocked in round one. Everyone assumes that the big five quarterbacks will all go in round one, but one of them could slide. Lamar Jackson fell or almost fell out of the first round a few years ago, fell all the way to pick number 32. You know, one of them could slide. It's not likely, but even if all five of them go in round one, you still have to get a sixth quarterback into the top 32. And no quarterback outside of the big five is generating anything close to that kind of hype. Only once in NFL history, with the all-time great 1983 class with Elway and Marino and Kelly, only once have we seen six quarterbacks go in round one. The odds of it happening in this draft are maybe 1%. And even that feels high. I love under 5.5 quarterbacks in round one. Again, regardless of the juice. One of my favorite bets on the board.
Which team would you be most worried about taking the sixth QB?
Tampa Bay at 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then being like, oh, our team is great. We don't really have any needs. All of our starters are returning. Let's draft our quarterback of the future and just let him sit behind Brady for a couple of years. The thought of that happening terrifies me, but I don't think that's going to happen. I would be more worried about them taking a running back than about them taking a quarterback. All right, Scott, I'm coming back to you. I want to get another of your favorite bets for the 2021 NFL draft. And before the show, we were talking, I believe that you think out of the ones that you like that this is the safest bet.
Yeah, I think when we start looking at it, Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals is a +175. You know, I think when you look at the Bengals, there's only two players. So you're basically deciding that this is a 50-50 proposition. They're either going to take Penei Sewell or they're going to take, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. We talked a little bit about it. Kyle Pitts is a little bit of a question mark, but I really don't think he gets past Atlanta. You start looking at things, and Ja'Marr Chase has the connection with Burrow. I think when you start looking at some of the scouting community, not everybody is completely sold that Penei Sewell is the best tackle in this draft. You have some guys that like Slater. And I think with the depth that you have at the tackle position, I think there's a much bigger gap as far as a talent drop off between getting Ja'Marr Chase at pick five versus what wide receiver you would be able to pick in the second round versus the talent gap that would be between Penei Sewell and the tackle that you could get in the second round. I just think it's too big of a gap. You know, Chase to the Bengals makes a lot of sense to me. You know, is it going to be a little bit of a luxury pick? Possibly. But we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, who's basically, you know, the best wide receiver prospect coming out graded since, I think, Calvin Johnson on a lot of people's books. So when you start looking at that, I'm really comfortable getting positive money here. I'm more than comfortable to go ahead and project Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals at five.
I mean, I think there's a greater chance than not that it's Ja'Marr Chase. So even at +100, I think you're still getting value if you want to bet it there. I mean, I think the odds of him going number five to the Bengals are maybe 60%, maybe even a little bit higher than that in agreement here. +175 all the way down to +100 for Ja'Marr Chase to the Cincinnati Bengals. I really do like that bet. Sean, give me one of your favorite draft prop bets for 2021.
So I love the price right now for Najee Harris to be the first running back drafted at -150. Obviously, it's between him and Travis Etienne. But as Scott mentioned, you know, Javonte Williams is a dark horse for this market. But, you know, I think the first team to take a stab at Harris could be the Steelers. And, you know, he kind of fits the mold of the three down back. You know, Mike Tomlin loves workhorse back. So I could see him going to the Steelers. And then Tampa Bay, I thought they were a better fit for ATN, but after the Gio Bernard signing, I think it lowers their odds a little bit for taking a running back here. So I just love Harris being the first running back off the board. I would expect this to be closer to -200. So I think at -150, it's a good price.
Scott, I'd like your thoughts on this. This one scares me just a little bit because I think Harris should be favored. but I think it's a little bit closer to a coin flip, maybe 50% or 60% that it's Harris. And then, you know, ETN with the remainder of that in terms of just those two guys, who goes first. I could see it being ETN, you know, maybe 40 to 45%. How do you view those two running backs?
I think Harris should be the first, you know, first running back picked. But the issue that you run into when you're trying to match up these running backs to these teams is, what are the different teams looking for from a running back as far as their scheme? You know, or is a team looking for that big back? Do they maybe have, you know, their running back two on their roster that is the bigger back, to where they want somebody that's a little bit more explosive? The one thing that I would caution with this bet, when you start talking about guys in the mock draft industry that's been really accurate, you know, Peter Schrager recently had ATN mocked to 19th to Washington football team. I think that's high. I don't think he's going to go to the Washington football team, but I think the actionable item that you can kind of get out of this is that ATN may be going higher than what a lot of people think. And some of these numbers that you're seeing at some of these books may be a little off or a little low on ATN. There's some good money to be had on both betting Najee Harris as the first running back taken and ATN as the first running back taken. I think you can get good odds on both.
All right, Rayvon, give me one of your favorite props for the draft.
So, and this kind of goes into what Scott and you talked about a few moments ago, Friedman, but I'm going Ja'Marr Chase under 5.5 at -120. Scott, I know you said you would be comfortable doing it at around, you know, even money, but I'm with Friedman. I think these odds are about 60 to 66%, you know, about, you know, two out of every three times I think it happens, somewhere around there. So I like Chase to the Bengals at number 5. I think that's where he goes. But I'm also not, you know, sure what happens at number 4 with the Falcons and what they're thinking. I think it's probably Pitts, but I think I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, them take Chase even at number 4. So, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility for me. So I really like Chase at under 5.5. I know, you know, he's just been graded so highly. He's really kind of separated himself in terms of these mocks and where he's going. And he's like the unquestioned number one wide receiver now in the draft. So really like Ja'Marr Chase under 5.5 at -120. And I would do it up to -145 because I do think around 60% is more so the floor.
Rayvon, to your point about we don't really know what the Falcons are going to do at number 4. So there's the possibility there. I mean, if they went with Chase, that would be a fantastic move in terms of, it would be similar to what the Cowboys did last year with adding CeeDee Lamb. And it would be like, oh man, like this team has the best trio of wide receivers in the league instantly if you add Ja'Marr Chase. So it would be exciting to see that happening. The thing is, I'm going against you. I think it's Kyle Pitts. That's one of my favorite bets. Kyle Pitts to the Falcons, +160 at BetMGM. And even if they go with Pitts instead of Ja'Marr Chase, I still think at this point they have the best group of pass catchers. I think there's a greater than 50% chance that it is Pitts. It's becoming increasingly clear that they won't go with a quarterback in the future at number 4. It looks like it will also be harder for them to trade down because they've sort of deleveraged themselves by basically admitting that they're not going to take a quarterback here. So why would a team trade down to number 4 when they could trade to maybe number 6 or number 7 and they don't have to give as much in the draft to do that trade? So you look on the defensive side of the ball, they don't need an offensive lineman, but you know, Pitts is a unicorn prospect with his athletic profile and his college production. He fits their offense and he allows them to be multiple because he's a tight end, but he basically has wide receiver skills. And so he has that ability to really open up what they do offensively in Arthur Smith's system. So to get Pitts to the Falcons at plus money, I think it's fantastic value, easily one of my favorite bets on the board right now.
This is Action Network podcast producer Matt Mitchell, here to tell you our friends at BetMGM have a great new sign-up offer for our listeners, a $600 risk-free first bet. Here's how it works. If you don't already have an account at BetMGM, just sign up, make your first deposit, and place that initial wager. If the bet wins, you get all the money. If it doesn't win, BetMGM will refund you in free bets up to $600. It's that simple. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. BetMGM has been a great podcast partner, and they've got all the features gamblers like us love, like live betting and daily odds boosts, Plus, they're compatible with BetSync, so when you place a wager at BetMGM, that bet can automatically be tracked in your Action app. So open an account today and make your first bet risk-free up to $600. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Michigan, New Jersey, Colorado, Indiana, West Virginia, Iowa, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, or Pennsylvania. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. BetSync not available in Nevada. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Okay. We've gone through 5, 4, 3, and 2. We're now at our favorite props for the NFL draft. Scott, give it to me. What is your best bet for the 2021 NFL draft?
Look, I'm swinging big for the fences here, and I'm going specifically with a player to a certain team, and that's going to be Patrick Surtain to Carolina at pick number 8 for plus 1,100 at MGM. When we're looking for returns, I want a big return. When I break this down, this pick logically, you know, a lot of these scouts, what you're going to hear is that Patrick Surtain is the best defensive player in this draft. There's a lot of action, a lot of money going on. Surtain is the first defensive player off the board. And when you start looking at teams that could go ahead and take Surtain after you get past all these quarterbacks and Pitts and the wide receiver, and I think you can look squarely at pick 8 at Carolina. You know, they've got Dante Jackson, who's not a number one cornerback. He's more of a number two guy. You know, they did try to address the secondary with A.J. Bouye, and it's Dante Jackson and a bunch of scrubs. So when I'm breaking down their roster, I think really Carolina's looking at two people. I think it's either going to be Rashawn Slater, provided that Penei Sewell doesn't have a major drop, or it's going to be Patrick Surtain, one of these two guys. And to go ahead and drop a few bucks down on a plus 1,100 odds, I think it's just got, you know, the high reward to go ahead and drop and sprinkle some money down and drop a few units on it. And look, if it hits with what I'm looking at and how I'm projecting my mock drafts, it's not out of the question for it to either be Patrick Surtain or Rashawn Slater. And at plus 1,100, I'm more than willing to take that chance.
All right. Love it. Sean, give me your best prop bet for the 2021 NFL draft.
So, you know, earlier in the pod, I went with some long shots. This one, I'm going with something pretty chalky. Total wide receivers drafted in the first round over 4.5 at minus 300. Like you guys say, I would bet this to any juice. You know, obviously Chase, Waddle, Smith are locks for the first round. I think Rashad Bateman seems likely. And then you have guys like we mentioned earlier, like Kadarius Toney, Terrence Marshall, Elijah, or even Rondale Moore could sneak into the first round. I think teams like the Bears, Titans, Saints, Bucks, Packers, or Ravens could target one of them. And I think with the Ravens trading up to get 2 first-round picks, I think it makes it even more likely that they're going to draft at least one wide receiver. So I love this. I think, you know, we're probably going to see 5 receivers, but I wouldn't be shocked to see 6. So, you know, like I said, I'd probably bet this up to minus 500. I think it's that much of a lock.
Sean, I don't know if I would say bet it up to 500, but I'm imagining when I update my mock draft, I'm still going to have 5 wide receivers in it. I mean, I think it's likelier than not that that is what we see. Scott, where are you on the number of wide receivers we see going in round 1?
You know, I'm kind of locked in right there at 5. I have some personal preferences as far as like the type of wide receiver I think is valuable, you know, at that measure in the first round. Look, you've got a lot of outs. You've got Elijah Moore. You've got Kadarius Toney. I think we talked about the top 4 guys. You know, Marshall's been getting a little bit of a blowback from some medical and injury concerns. But I think more likely than not, you're going to see that extra wide receiver sneak in, especially since Baltimore went ahead. I think when you had Kansas City there, you were going to be projecting more of an offensive lineman, probably one of the tackles there. But since they traded for a tackle and just looking at Baltimore and what their needs are, they really need another wide receiver kind of in that alpha mold to go ahead and loosen up that offense and give them a little bit more, you know, passing volume there in the air. So I like 5 for sure. And I'm going to kind of get things down and start narrowing the back end of that draft in, but I think a 6 wide receiver could sneak in there in the first round.
Oh, six. I mean, you can see how it happens. As you said, there are a number of outs, a number of guys who could get there, and enough teams, especially in the second half of the first round, who could address the position. They certainly have needs there. All right, Raybon, give me your best bet for the NFL draft.
So this is one where I think it started out, there was some uncertainty, and then it's kind of, I think, become more clear. And I think the market is still, because it's kind of a high profile pick, and it's one of the biggest stories of the draft. You know, you're still getting good odds compared to what it should be. I think this should be closer to minus 300, but Mac Jones to the for the number three pick at minus 185. I think he's going with number three to the 49ers. I think Zach Wilson to the Jets at number two is going to happen. And obviously Lawrence number one. But you look at Jones and, you know, the alternatives, and, you know, at one point, you know, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, you know, both of those guys are in the conversation. But you look at what Kyle Shanahan kind of wants, and, you know, look at them trading up. And the thing that separates Jones, I think, is just his mental ability at quarterback. He was, you know, if you compare him to a guy like Fields, you know, he threw his time to throw is about almost 50 seconds, like, faster. His pressure to sack rate was half of what Fields' was. And Jones was the number three quarterback in terms of passer rating under pressure, whereas Fields was outside the top 50th percentile. And I really think that's going to be important for the 49ers. So there's a lot of reports saying, you know, this is pretty much a done deal. There'll be a lot of surprises if they didn't go with Jones, even though they have entertaining, you know, they've done their due diligence. So I think these odds should be closer to minus 300. I think about 75% chance that Jones goes at number three. So I like it at 185, minus 185.
Scott, I'd love your thoughts on this, because everything that I look at points towards Mac Jones. I understand why some people would be really hesitant about it. You know, Justin Fields, he's the sexier player. You know, Trey Lance, he's got upside to the moon. You know, Mac Jones looks a little bit more like a finished product. And so maybe he just doesn't seem like the kind of player who's worth trading two for future first rounders for, and a third rounder to move up to number three to take him. But I mean, you know, Schefter is on it. Daniel Jeremiah is on it. Mel Kiper Jr. is on it. Like the sharp mock drafters.
Rappaport,
yeah. I mean, the sharp mocks, they are pretty strongly pointing towards Jones instead of Fields or Lance. Where are you on this?
Yeah, I'm my first few mock drafts that I put out at the Action Network all had Fields kind of in that position. And we look at it as armchair scouts and sit there, and it's easy for us to go ahead and try to break down traits and say, oh, Fields is more athletic, he's got the better arm, he's got this. But when it comes down to it and you start looking at Shanahan, I think he's going to know more than anybody what traits it is that he's looking for. And one of the things that we can't sit here and grade and we don't know is the mental capacity that some of these players have as far as making decisions and quick. I mean, we think we know, but until we're not getting these players in there on a dry erase board and running through plays with them and stuff like that. So it's hard for us to sit there and say. I think really when this comes down to it, the one person that I look at with this is Adam Schefter. And if Adam Schefter is reporting it, I can promise you his whole career is based off of relationships that he has with, you know, with the guys that leak out this information. And when he reports something, you know, it's 80 to 90% that it's going to happen. And when you just have as many people within the industry that have inside information and connections and leaks and, you know, all of that, it's hard to go ahead and bet against that. And this has become such a huge topic of this draft. It's pretty much the make or break position of this draft. Guys that do mock drafts, their mock drafts are going to fall apart getting this pick wrong, because the dominoes that fall after this are going to really like decide how accurate you are. And I just don't think that a guy like Adam Schefter and whoever his reports, whoever he gets his information from, are going to burn him over as big of a topic as this. So for me, I think you pay attention to the talking heads that have the, you know, at the big media stations that have the inside connections to give you the information, and you pay attention to this over the next 2 or 3 days, and you may, this may be one of the lines that you see move. So I like getting in on the Mac Jones action now. I mean, throughout this process, you've had time to go ahead and hedge bets and get in on all three of Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones to the 49ers. But if you're putting me on the spot, asking me who I'm going to have in my final mock draft, as of right now, it's going to be Mac Jones to the 49ers.
Yeah, if I didn't have positions established already and I were coming in just today to the market and I had to bet, I would be betting on Mac Jones. And the one thing that gives me just a little hesitation here is the idea that if Jones doesn't go number three, he could fall pretty far down the board, potentially. It seems like the 49ers view him in a way that really no other team or few teams view him. And so that makes me just a little bit wary. But because of all of the mocks and because of the, as you said, Scott, like the big talking heads at the big networks, because they are really staking their reputations and they have the established sources, they're staking their reputations on the idea of Jones going number three, because that is what they are reporting as what is likely to happen. That is where I'm leaning here. So Raybon, I'm with you. Jones, number three to the 49ers at minus 185. I do think there's value there. And Scott, to your point, I do think that line will continue to move the closer we get to draft day.
Yeah, so, and to be clear, yeah, that's why I'm taking him at number three. Like there's props you could get for him to go under 3.5. Now those, what I'm seeing at BetMGM, it's already juiced up to minus 250. So I think the value is specifically taking him to go with that third pick, because you look at Lawrence and you look at Wilson and the odds are pretty astronomical that they're going to, you know, they're going top two. And then the 49ers traded up, right? And so that's what kind of, like, I do agree, you know, if things slip up, if you're betting like just the under or something, the 49ers weren't there, then the outcome, the range of outcomes widens. But it's a bet on Schefter and on these other guys that do this for a living, on them being right. And again, I just think it makes sense. I mean, you look back at Kyle Shanahan, what he's had success with, what he's done, what the moves he's made. They traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not an athletic guy, but he's a guy who, what does he have? Mental ability in that Patriot system for a number of years sitting down. They bet on his talent. They bet on his potential, essentially. Even when they take Robert Griffin, when he was a coordinator with Washington, what did they go behind and do when no one thought they needed it? They also took a more traditional passer in Kirk Cousins, and who ended up, you know, playing a lot under Shanahan, even there. Cousins, who's the quarterback that he went to the Super Bowl with and almost won? Matt Ryan, and another guy that you look at the skill set, it's more comparable to Jones than it is to Fields or Lance, even though I agree those guys are sexy. I think Lance is a bit more of a prospect. I think it should come down to Fields versus Jones, like if I was in that position. But I think it's pretty clear, especially looking at some of the advanced metrics on, you know, that would indicate their mental ability and processing speed and things like that. That's what really kind of leads me toward Jones. And I think that's why, because it's such a big topic and because you're getting that actual number three pick and they traded there, I think that's what's creating the value, because I think a lot of people have an opinion on this. And so there is going to be money still coming in on like under, 3.5 or pick number three for Fields or Lance, because people have a wide range of opinions. So that's where I think the value comes from.
All right, Raybon, with you there on Jones to the 49ers at number three. My favorite bet for the NFL draft, and this one is pretty random, the Washington football team to draft defense with the first pick. And you can get this at BetMGM at plus 210. I think this should be plus 100, maybe minus 120. Washington could go with a tackle or a wide receiver, but this class is deep at both of those positions. And so you could easily see them addressing those positions on day two. Washington also really needs an off-ball linebacker. And in the middle of round one, they are perfectly placed to address that position. There are like three guys who all fit that range at off-ball linebacker who easily could go there. And so that's a spot I really like. And over half the mocks I've seen, they go with a linebacker. So I lean defense here for Washington at pick 19. That side of the ball at plus 210. I think that offers the best combination of plus money and real odds of actually hitting on the prop. So that is why right now, that is my favorite bet of the 2021 NFL draft. All right, that's going to do it for our NFL draft betting preview. You can follow Sean, Chris, and me in the Action Network app at the _oddsmaker, Chris Raybon, and Matt F. The Oracle. You can track your NFL draft prop bets in the app for free. So be sure to do that and follow Scott on Twitter at ScottSmithFF. Be sure to check out his most recent up to the minute mock draft, as well as the rest of our draft content at Action Network. As a reminder, we have our PGA Tour betting preview on Tuesday and the NBA buffet on Wednesday, plus a bonus Kentucky Derby betting preview this Friday. Thanks to BetMGM, the official odds provider of the show. And thank you for listening. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, download and listen on Spotify, and we will see you next time on the Action Network Podcast.
We're finished talking.